You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I need your guys' advice as accomplished people of note and public figures. The three of you who've done things in public.
I mean, you've done things in public before.
You called a Marlins preseason game.
That is true.
Aren't you judging a croqueta contest this Friday as a public figure of note?
That's what I need help with.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
I did not realize that I was walking straight into the place where you need some advice.
Yeah, that's what I need some advice on. So this weekend on Friday, there's a thing called Croqueta Palooza, and I was asked to come and host a croqueta eating contest. And I said, absolutely. And then I haven't really followed up with what does that entail? So I need to now follow up and say, what does that entail? And I need to be prepared for this croqueta eating contest because it's very soon and fast approaching. And I need to know what I'm doing and I don't. And I'm not one for small talk. And then, you know, as inspiration, I said, let me look to see what it is that they do like in the hot dog eating contest. And then you have like the famous guy with the little hat that he wears on the stage at the hot dog eating contest. And he's, you know, the whole time he's like a carnival barker, but I don't fancy myself a carnival barker. And well, I don't think
are
I have the right attire.
Are you attire? Okay, I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, so as do I.
The first question I have is, is there anything in the world more exciting than something called Croqueta Palooza? Like, what a great name.
It's a wonderful event.
For an event. Who's sponsoring this? I would assume a Guayabera would allow you entry into any place, right? For those who do not know what a Guayabera is, Cubans don't wear, the island of Cuba, they don't use ties. So Guayaberas pass as either casual wear or formal wear because.
So like a linen button up shirt
with a lot of pockets.
Yeah, I've seen those at the airport with the bottom pockets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They have a lot of pockets on them, but you don't really.
Put croquettes in them.
Fill the pockets, right? Like they're more like ceremonial pockets because if you like pockets. Load them up with things, then you know weighs your shirt down.
Yes, it's unbecoming because the shirt can look, if it's properly ironed, it could look clean and starched. And if you fill it with croquetas, people will notice the lumps in your shirt. Well, but you can get away with a Wayabera for this. If you have one, you can get away with that as a tire.
I do have one, but the place where I used to get my Guayaberas, I believe, is now like a medical marijuana place. So I don't think I can get my Guayaberas there anymore.
To be fair, I don't like, used to kind of see in Miami a lot of places where you can get Guayaberas. It was sort of like a very common feature, like in Banana Republic or something like that. I don't see them very much anymore. Is it because like I'm not going to the same places that I used to, or is it slightly out of fashion?
No. Oh, bite your tongue, out of fashion. It will never be out of fashion down here. So I have that question, is what do I wear? And then two is like, what do I do? How long does this last? Do I talk the whole time? Do I like, you know?
But these are two different things, because when I thought you were being, when you were doing something that is a judge, that's one thing. But you, it sounds like you're a master of ceremonies. It sounds like you're doing what Adnan Virk is going to do for us at the Moss event on December 10th. I should tell people again, that's at mosslebitard.com. You could get the few remaining tickets. Adnan Virk is acting as master of ceremonies. There are things he has to do, yeah. Requirements with a microphone and whatnot. That's what you have to do?
Well, that seems more involved than mine. I think mine is just the contest. But I again, this probably needs to have a follow-up conversation, right? This is what I was told. This was the selling point. Would you like to host the croqueta eating contest at Croqueta Palooza? I said, yes, I'm in. And then before they even finished the sentence, which was last year, Lucy Lopez was the host, I said, I'm in. And Lucy Lopez is a legend down here. I mean, I don't need to even go over Lucy
Who's
Lopez.
Lucy Lopez?
I was just going to say, I don't even need to go over Lucy Lopez's resume. She's a local icon.
She's been on Power 96, the main kind of one of the main hit music stations down here for forever.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as I can remember.
I'm starting to realize, and I've never had the pleasure of meeting Lucy Lopez, a local icon.
I was legitimately starstruck when I saw her in the hallway once in the old radio station.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, wow, you're Lucy Lopez.
Okay, so
radio still had that effect on me when I was a kid. When I was like you sort of got to know these people, and yet, like, when you meet them, there's like, oh yeah, you're a person. How about that?
Well, I'm constantly living in Lucy Lopez's shadow, because a couple years ago they did it wasn't only in Dade. I think it was like literally Miami. It was one of those like Instagrams, right? And they were doing like a local Miami like people of note fantasy football league. And they asked me to be in it like on behalf of the show. And I said, sure, I'll do that. And then when I went to sign in, it was Team Lucy Lopez, and I found out that I guess Lucy Lopez didn't answer in time, and I was just slotted in to take over Team Lucy Lopez. So
wow.
Now this is the second time in my life where I'm living in Lucy's shadow. The first time was in a fantasy league that it was me and Will Manso and then a couple other people, and now it's this at Croqueta Palooza, and again, I don't know what do I do. So like, what would you guys, if you were hosting?
Well,
the first thing
I do is make sure that I come in hungry, because it sounds amazing.
Well, I don't think I'm eating.
No, well, you got.
I mean, there's got to be plenty of leftovers.
Wait, so are you judging the people eating them?
No, he's hosting the thing.
I think
so.
I'm just hosting.
So I think like I. So first off, I would definitely try and ask the people for some kind of run of show.
Yeah.
Right. Like what? So like what am I going to be doing? From
you are so annoying.
What?
You're.
I mean, walk in and you know just ask like, hey, what from when I start to when I finish, what am I going to be doing?
Yeah.
Whittingham,
and that's not an unreasonable ask.
Whittingham, it's not, but have you not noticed in our environment that your organization is not something that anyone else in the history of our building has embraced?
Oh, no, this is like a legitimate thing. Like, this is something that's well put together. It's well run. It's existed for a number of years. But I'm now, like, I have been at this point where I'm like, I feel like all of these questions should have been asked on the front end, and they just assume that I'm going in there knowing what's going on and knowing the deal.
Trust me, Billy, having hosted a few events, like,
that's a look at me, Louie. I mean, that is.
Ben Bonafides. I mean,
having hosted a few events.
Having hosted a few events, there is generally not a whole lot of knowing what's going on. So be prepared to walk in there and like you get like one piece of paper with a few people's names, and that's all you have to work off of. Be prepared for that to be the case. The one thing I would definitely say, though, is if you're hosting this thing, you're going to be introducing the participants. So definitely work on your, like, kind of Michael Biamonte voice of, like, you know, and hailing from Miami Gardens. I just have a list of names in front of me from things that happened in sports this weekend. Brian Robinson or something like that. But also sometimes Billy, and I don't mean this as too harsh of a criticism, but like when you sort of get excited about things, sometimes it can sound like it's faux sincerity.
I get that a lot.
Where like you're sort of sarcastic. You have to like say things with a genuine enthusiasm where you're excited to say this person's name who's entering this competition.
I get that a lot. I get insincerity a lot, but I feel like I'm just, and this is going to sound weird, sincerely insincere. You know what I mean? Like even when I'm being sincere, it doesn't come off that way. I come off as insincere because I can't fake the sincerity. So then it sounds like I'm faking it when I'm actually showing enthusiasm. Because I think people don't see me actually being enthused. So when there is enthusiasm coming from me, they just assume it's fake and that I'm never happy.
But what did you think you were signing up for? Like you do realize
something Lucy Lopez did.
Okay, but so that is going to require public energy, correct?
Yeah,
that you've got to accent things here. You've got to get people excited. Did you think you were just signing up to eat croquetas?
No, I mean, let's be real. The first time this question came about was months ago, and I said yes right away. And then I just thought, they probably forgot about me. So, like, I don't have to really sweat this out that much. And then things have really heated up. They're like, you're still good? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm good. Listen, Burger Beast, I'm going to be there because Burger Beast is throwing this on. And you don't say no to the Burger Beast, obviously. So I told the Burger Beast, absolutely, I will be there. I'm excited about this. And I am excited about this, but I'm also really nervous because I don't want to mess up a croqueta eating contest if there's a way to do it. Because I feel like if there is, I will find the way.
I don't think there is a way. People will be eating croquetas, and no matter what you say, it doesn't matter. They're there to eat croquetas. I'm not understanding, though, why Burger Beast isn't serving burgers. I would want, like, what am I missing about the croqueta connection on Burger Beast?
Well, this is the spinoff. This is Croqueta Palooza. Yeah, Burger Beast throws Croqueta Palooza. And has a blog, yeah.
Do you know who the other judges are? Who is actually judging the competition?
I don't know that there's any judges. I just know that I'm hosting this. So I don't think that there's judges, right? Because you either eat a croqueta or you don't eat a croqueta, unless there's shenanigans.
Well, there are judges at the Coney Island hot dog eating contest, aren't there? For people who eat like a fourth of a hot dog and doesn't count?
Yes, there are arbiters there making sure that they don't regurgitate or anything else. They're keeping count. They're keeping score.
They're in admin roles. They're not necessarily like there to be like part of the proceedings.
But is this a contest, Billy, or you don't even know that?
No, it's a croqueta eating contest for sure.
Yeah.
Presumably there's a prize, but then now I'm wondering, do I need to, like, okay, guys, let's be real. In a moment of, you know, I'm going to be completely honest and vulnerable with you guys. Haven't done the best job being the commissioner of the Bucket of Death. I'll just come out and say it.
I think you're doing an amazing job.
I'll admit,
job.
I haven't exactly ruled with an iron fist here. So if I'm to see people cheating at this croqueta eating contest where they're mashing it and then like rubbing it on their face or something, and I have to decide whether or not someone ate it, don't know that I'm the right person for that job. Because what am I going to do? Am I going to argue with people saying, no, you only ate 64 croquetas, not 65 croquetas? Like, and how do I watch people simultaneously?
I just don't understand how you were going into this and you don't know what the job is. At first, I thought you were eating croquetas. Then I thought it was various places making croquetas and you had to pick the best croqueta. Now it's turned out to be that it's just a bunch of people eating as many croquetas as they can. And now you're the one to be deciding whether someone smushed a croqueta illegally or not, or whether they ate the entirety of a croqueta.
Or possibly just describing it. And then it's like, well, let's say this is like a 10-minute competition. How do I describe people eating croquetas?
Oh my God,
for
what if
10
you have to
minutes?
Do play-by-play? Play, yeah.
That's what I'm wondering that too.
Well, then you gotta call Gojo for help with that.
I mean, that is sort of
on here.
That is sort of what you're doing. I think you're gonna be saying, again, I have a listening. Russell Wilson is in the lead. He's got eight croquetas down, but chasing him down is Amir Abdullah. He's got six, and he's gaining on him quickly. Like, you're gonna have to like do like sort of vague play-by-play like that.
I think Whittingham might be better for this job than you.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Don Libertard.
What's the single best move you ever picked up from an animal?
Oh, come on.
No, it's a good question.
It really is.
Give us one.
We are crawling into Tarzan's bedroom.
You know what
I'm going to
do? I'm going to send you guys the photographs.
What?
Hell yeah. No. Even better.
I'm going to send you guys the photographs.
Email my personal,
no,
please.
No.
Email my personal.
And it is this male orangutan that is absolutely putting the velvet buzzsaw on a female while using both hands to also stimulate the upper portions of her body.
Wow.
Wow.
Boom, chicka, boom.
Stugats.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
How you do it.
Wait a minute. We cannot just skip past. I've not heard that expression before. The velvet buzzsaw is a wonderful nickname.
It's a great nickname for a point guard.
for a band, for a punk band. It's unbelievable. And for Ron McGill's endowment. The Velvet Buzzsaw.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugats.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did you see Satch Sanders sitting next to Prince William? I never thought I would ever see that photograph.
We haven't talked about Prince William yet. At being at the Celtics game,
they were chanting USA. They were chanting USA at him.
Yeah,
and
Boston.
And
Boston always comes through in
William
the clutch.
And Kate had to be like, "These idiots."
There were two great moments. One of them was Satch Sanders sitting next to him. If you don't know who Satch Sanders is, by the way, Stugatz, 8 rings on that guy. Played with the Celtics in the Bill Russell era. 8 rings,
right.
Better than Jordan.
Did he have anything to do with them, though? I mean, like he was.
He played. He was a starter.
Okay.
Also, first black head coach in the Ivy League, that guy, of any sport. But that was incredible. But the best moment was at one point Tatum hit like yet another 3-pointer to get to like 47 points, and they shot Prince William, and he was clapping very politely, and he looked over at his wife and clearly mouthed the words, "He's very good."
He's very good.
He's very good.
He's very good. You remind me of myself when I played polo at Eton.
Why didn't the Celtics fans like at least chant like Boston Tea Party or something like that? Like USA is all they had? American chants, very unoriginal.
Well, because we beat them 0-0 in soccer.
Right. So. Dominated the game.
You wanted them to chant Boston Tea Party?
He's weird.
Something that's not USA.
Revolution.
Like you see,
know.
Like I see all these. I see
Johnny
all these.
Hancock.
Johnny Hancock.
Literally anything other than USA.
Magna Carta. Magna Carta.
Time now for Mike Schur's stat of the day.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
It is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I meant to get to this a few weeks ago, and I apologize. And you know I don't like to speak ill of the dead. And I'm not really doing that, I guess. But Ray Guy, who passed away earlier this year, Hall of Fame punter, often called the greatest punter of all time.
Mm-hmm.
His highest average punting in a season ever was 45.3 yards per punt. There are 24 punters this year averaging more than 45.3 yards per punt. So in the ways that the game has changed, turns out also punters are a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah. He's the last great punter. How many do you have stats on how many times he pinned a team inside the 5-yard line?
Coffin cornered him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Sorry. Right.
He was the best ever.
Do you also have stats on hang time? Do you? Because he brought rain with his punts.
I used to love that clock, the hang time clock. It was fantastic for
that was
guy.
Fun. Why don't they bring that back?
Thank you. Yes.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Should we bring back the hang time clock?
It should be the Ray Guy hang time clock.
Name it after him. But my guess is if everything in sports is always getting better, and if Ray Guy would indeed be at his height the 25th best punter by average in the league today, my guess is also that the way we remember his hang time is probably not accurate, and it's probably less than today's hang time.
When guys are routinely kicking the ball off of scoreboards that are hanging from the roofs of the domes they play in, my guess is that, yeah, their hang time would also be significantly better.
That is not something that's happening routinely. That is not routine.
It happens routinely.
Does it happen routinely? I don't feel like that happens routinely.
Yeah, no,
it happens 40 to 50 times a week in the NFL, I would say.
They had to raise the scoreboard at AT&T Stadium, and yet still, a handful of times a season, someone still punts a ball into the video board.
What Mike just said routinely. Is ridiculous. Mike, sure. 40 or 50 times, he's kidding, right?
He's a comedy writer.
Yes, he's a comedy writer.
Several hit shows. Yes. He worked on SNL once.
Chris was heavy-handed. That was not funny.
If it was happening 40 or 50 times a week, we would not have both objected to his use of the word routinely.
Chris, have you ever heard of the show The Office?
No.
See you later, Mike. Good talking to you.
Bye.
See you, Mike.
Don Lebatard.
Stugatz.
So things are starting to come together. When? Don't count on me to let you know when. Don't count on me. I'll do it again. Don't count on me. It's a point you're missing. Don't count on me. Because I'm not listening.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Jay, thankful as always that you're joining us this week to talk football and mental health. I will remind you, Unbreakable is the name of the book and the podcast. Every week, Jay Glazer is talking to guests, cracking them open, getting at their soul, and talking about some of the dark stuff that people usually don't like talking about. Before we go down that path, though, I know you guys have football questions, so I will let you have at it, but I will start the bidding on football. How bad a mistake have the Broncos made on Russell Wilson, Jay?
Well, look, I think, you know, there's two things here. One, they almost kind of need to make a splash for the ownership, right? So even though they gave an awful lot for Russell, it did help the value of that team with the overall sale. Here's the problem with Russell Wilson right now is, and look, there's two parts of Russell, right? So Russell comes off incredibly inauthentic. We know that. That's as a person, as a dude, I should say. But as a player, the thing that doesn't concern me as much as a player. And the thing that concerns me is, despite whatever else you may think about Russell Wilson, the dude outworks the world. He works his butt off. So it's not like, well, there's things you could fix by if he works here, if he works there, if he does a little bit more here, he does more than everybody else. So that makes me go, man, is this guy just hit the ceiling and he's just on the way down? That, I think, is the bigger problem. So if you look at it, is it a huge issue? Yeah. I mean, they've strapped themselves over there. Plus also, like, you know, I don't think any of us think that Hackett will be back next year. But, you know, where a guy like Russell Wilson in the past would have been a selling point to a prospective coach. Now he's a negative to his prospective coach. Well, you have two things. You can have a prospective coach go, I'm the one who could turn this guy around. Or people saying, no, he's on the way down. There's nothing we could do. We want nothing to do with that job.
A lot of people have said good things. I think you're one of them about Hackett and that he was a good offensive mind entering this job. He didn't just forget how to coach offense. So some of the blame has to go to Russell Wilson. But what is Denver not doing to help Russell at this stage in the game? Because if you looked at the roster entering the season, you could figure out easily why Russell decided that was the location for him.
Well, they've been hit with a bunch of injuries, but they also just – they just haven't been. And sometimes, listen, there are guys who are great coordinators who just aren't made for that other role. It's a Peter principle. Just because you're good at one doesn't mean you're going to be great at the next step. And I think a guy like Hackett, I think early on, you know, things just started to snowball when he didn't go for it with Russ on that game against Seattle, and it just started going downhill. But sometimes guys get in that position, they lose their nutsack. They lose who they are. They lose that you know, the motherfuck they have in them that gets them to be so good as a coordinator, because there's so much pressure. There's so much other things that go into it. And, you know, they get a little, they get skittish in certain ways. And I'm not saying, and here's the thing, I'm not sure what happened in Hackett's case. And it could have been, look, a lot of it also is coaching a guy like Russell's hard because they do have so much say. And, But clearly there's a disconnect between the two.
Give me the team in the sport that has a great record that Jay Glazer believes in the least.
No, I don't know. I believe – No, I'm kind of the other way. I don't see – I'm not going to take away from a team with a great record. Like, I won't do that. Like, there's a reason why they're there. I think the other way – teams that are starting to, like, I wouldn't want San Francisco on my schedule right now. That's the last team I'd want. Like, so a team without a great record that's going that way, that's the last team I'd want to face right now. They're, you know, obviously offensively, like, what are you going to do to stop anybody? But they're so damn physical. Like, they're going to win or lose that next week, that training room is going to be filled up for whoever they're playing.
You mentioned San Francisco, and they're playing in the game of the week. I haven't been this excited for an NFL game in quite a number of weeks. What do you anticipate with Mike McDaniel going up against his mentor in Kyle Shanahan? Sometimes
Kyle's not a defensive coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little different. You know, this is, you know, if a defensive guy going against an offensive guy, it's a little different. It's not like you go, okay, well, I know his tricks, so, you know, it's – But I just think this game will come down to the physicality. You know, they are two totally different teams, where Miami is just, man, they're thoroughbreds. And the other guys are bullies.
How has the start of the season changed the expectations for the Dolphins? Like, a successful season for the Dolphins ends how this year?
Oh, my God, I think it already is. I think they're, you know, I think you kind of looked at it and going, huh, was this going to be one and done for Mike McDaniel? They're going to go after Sean Payton again? I think that's, we all thought that. And nobody believed in Tua. Now, man, we believe in Tua, right? And I was one of them also. I just, you know, I wasn't sure he had it. But there almost needs to be a different category for Tua. Not comeback player of the year. I don't know, like breakout player,
the everyone
player,
shut
right?
up like, award?
Yeah, everyone shut up award. Yeah, I like that. The everyone shut up award, because he is definitely shut us all up, without a doubt. And then, like, look, I still think if you went back to that draft and you have between Herbert and Tua, everybody but the Dolphins will still say Herbert, because he is just a stud. But, man, there'd be an awful lot of teams lining up for this version of Tua now.
Lamar Jackson has gone without an agent. He is representing himself in these contract negotiations. And he took to Twitter, and he's talking directly to haters, telling them to eat a bleep.
I had no problem with that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a play on.
I had no problem with that.
Play on for many, but unconventional. If he had an agent, would this still be kind of happening? And what do you just make of the entire situation? Because all of this seems pretty unconventional.
No, it's frustration. It had nothing to do with an agent. Agent can't turn back the hands of time. the problem with not having an agent is you go in there and you negotiate with people who have to, you have to bleed for, but at the same time, they're telling you you're not worth what you're asking for. That's really difficult to do. And too many times you've seen, that's why we all have agents. Like, we can't go in and negotiate with our bosses because our feelings get hurt. Like, you know, especially like in a level like this, you've got to have a huge ego, right? We're all crazy to be on this level. And you can't come out unscathed without your feelings hurt. And a lot of us, man, we just can't get over that. But also this whole thing though, for the Lamar, it doesn't go down to even that. It just kind of went down to, he wants a fully guaranteed deal, just like Deshaun Watson. And team is just not willing to be doing that.
I want to ask you three questions about three players and what they might be doing next year. Josh Jacobs just had 300-plus yards in a game. He's about to become a free agent. The running back is disposable. We don't pay running backs anymore. What's going to happen with Josh Jacobs?
I think he'll be back with the Raiders.
Tom Brady, do you think that he plays another year?
I don't think so. I would doubt it. Yeah, this is not me reporting something. I'm just, I think it's, and I've seen all of a sudden this week everybody starting to act like, oh, he's going to make one more run at it. I don't know where that's coming from. But Tom's just beat up this year. I mean, obviously on and off the field, and I would think it's over.
But
Tom's unpredictable, as we know. Like, nobody saw him going to the Buccaneers.
Do you, like Joe Buck, question whether Tom Brady will ever work at Fox?
No.
Aaron,
I think he'll work there. And just talking to Tom, not only do I think he'll work there, I think he's going to like throw his all into it and give the same work ethic he did as a player.
Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, man. This is a guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if he stepped away.
Give me a team, Jay.
However, if they end up shutting him down for the year, you know, there's two ways. You look at it and go, man, I played 1 year too long. This isn't how I wanted it to end. Or I'm not going to go out like this. I'm going to have one more year. And we've seen that. You know, listen, and this is where, like, these are so hard. So Tony Gonzalez, when he retires, right, it's the NFC playoffs, NFC championship game. Man, I go out to dinner with him that night. We know he's done. Like, he's done. That's it. He's out. And about 2 months later, he calls me up. He goes, hey, I think Smitty and Thomas will have me back as Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff. I'm like, where are you going here? He goes, man, I know I was set and I said goodbye to at every stadium I went to and I was done, but I can't go out 4 yards short of going to the Super Bowl. And I think that's what they were like on the 4-yard line, right? Or 6-yard line, or whatever it was, where they got stopped by San Francisco. He's like, I just can't go out that way. So actually, people don't know this. I ended up calling Mike Smith and Thomas and set up a meeting in Manhattan Beach. It was me, Tony Gonzalez, and Mike Smith about having Tony come back. And this was like in May or something like that. So it's, you know, retirement, the finality of retirement. And here's why it's hard for me to say these things. The finality of retirement is so hard for these guys because it's not like basketball. You can play 3-on-3 for the rest of your life, or baseball. You can go out and, you know, do it, you know, whatever. Hockey, you can still skate around with your boys. Football's done. It's over. There's a different finality of it. Fighting, you can still go in and spar and move around, roll, jiu-jitsu and wrestle. And football's just different when it comes to retirement than anything else.
Jay, I think I want to start a new segment with you. People don't know this, but I believe Jay has quite the catalog of things there. And if we start doing it with him every week where he has to impress us with people don't know this, but I think we can.
I ended up having to look over my shoulder quite a bit.
Yeah, Jay knows where all the bodies are buried in the NFL, and what he hasn't reported would probably floor many.
I probably put out over the years, probably like 1%, 0.05%.
Let's do it this way. What would you say is the biggest story that you broke in your career?
Oh, well, Spygate. He said Spygate.
Spygate. What's the second biggest?
There's been a lot. I had Barrett Robbins.
Yeah.
Him, the night before the Super Bowl, going down to Mexico and the captain of the Raiders being deactivated. And man, I've had Brett Favre's bunch of him getting traded to the Jets in the middle of the night when everybody thought he was going to the Buccaneers. But then Brett Favre coming out of retirement to play for the Vikings. I've had the second Spygate video. I did some, I had some Deflategate stuff. I had another videotape, surveillance video of something else. I've had, the end of the lockout. So I was the only reporter that didn't show up to the courthouse steps during that lock, the NFL lockout. And I kept saying, look, I enjoy my life too much. I don't want to report on every jab and feint thrown in the fight. I'll be the first one to report it when this lockout is over. And 3:54 in the morning, I broke the end of the lockout as the only reporter not, who never showed up to the courthouse steps. Man, the other dudes who had to be there the whole time were so fucking mad. They were so pissed. And it was also the same day I was actually adopting my son. So I broke that and then had to go to court to adopt my son. And there's no cell service in there. So you could imagine, and that was 9 a.m. So you can imagine the insanity there.
What's amazing there is not just that you became, you know, you had an adopted son, but you also showed every other reporter in the industry who's their daddy.
That day I did, yeah. There was so much anger because I also was fucking with them the whole time. Like, yeah, I enjoy my life too much. I'm going to be in Vegas and Cabo while you're all sitting down there in the courthouse steps. Just because I didn't want to go to the courthouse. So I had to kind of make it something else. But there's been, I don't know, over the years, man, I came out in week one year and I said Jim Harbaugh would not be back as head coach of the 49ers, even if they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Right? And then Harbaugh was gone that year. There's been a lot that I've just come out of left field and I just can't remember. But thank God I've been able to do that.
Well,
I've had more haymakers than anybody else.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why I asked that. Is there anything in that second tier below the original Spygate, and there were great stories associated, is there any stories that you sat on that would reach that tier? If so, how many?
A lot that I couldn't get the final. So the way I go about my business is I get triple confirmation for everything, right? So it's hard to get, I don't do double confirmation because what if the two guys that I talked to, the one guy's wrong and he gave it to the other guy? So I kind of need three independent, unless it's coming directly from somebody. Unless somebody says, hey, I'm trading such and such. Bam. I am benching. I am cutting this guy. We're suspending this person, right? I had all the Balco stuff. So I had all the Balco, but I also had it from every other sport. But I wasn't covering track and field or baseball or anything like that. So I didn't use any of that. I just used football. So I had all the Balco stuff. That was pretty freaking wild. Yeah.
Is there a story in your past, Jay, that you got beat on that hurt the most? Because you were close.
All of them.
Well, but you were close to having it nailed and somebody else got it, whatever it was, minutes before you.
Yeah, and that's why I stopped. Even this year, like, Christian McCaffrey, I was like, everybody was like, all right, we're going to give McCaffrey. And then all of a sudden, Schefter had it or somebody, I think it was Adam had it. And I was like, hey, you motherfuckers, we fucking had a deal here on this one. But the agents gave it out. And I go, I'm more teams than agents. I think those guys are a lot more agents than teams. I'm friends with some agents, but it's just now I do my business. The triple confirmation has gotten me to lose way more scoops than I've ever had, than the scoops I've had. So because I want that third confirmation, because I don't want to be wrong. I want people to know, listen, I had one a few years ago, right, that Giants were going to trade Odell Beckham. And remember, I got blasted over that. People, how dare I? And forget Lamar Jackson's tweet. I put out a tweet calling people a bunch of fuck sticks for killing me and my mom and my dad. And how dare I fucking say this about Odell Beckham? So things like that, like I need that. I knew that for 2 months before I put it out because I just needed the extra confirmation on it. So there's a lot of times where I will have it with two sources and I won't have the third and then it'll come out and I'll be like, oh, fuck. But you know what? But even like little ones, like this weekend, I was the only one who, and I went in real time. I know it's not huge, but I like when everybody else goes one way and I go the other. So everybody had, so I had that Fields was going to be out and that Trevor Siemian hurt his oblique, right? But I was like, one of my guys was like, listen, hold it. Just don't say it yet because, you know, we don't want the, sorry, but we're going to, you're going to have it. We got it. Great. And all of a sudden it gets, Garofalo put it out that he hurt his oblique and, you know, he's out and Peterman's in. And my sources are going, don't say Peterman's in yet. Like Trevor Siemian, bottom line, they gave him a Toradol shot. Toradol takes a half hour, 45 minutes to kick in. I know that because I take Toradol. Okay. So, because I'm missing my L4, L5. I'm the only insider who travels with Toradol. So, but I'm missing my L4, L5 from rupturing it four times. So I'm in a lot of fucking nerve pain a lot of times. So, and I've ruptured L1, L2 three times. So other than that, I'm a model of stability.
God almighty, Jay, that's a lot of pain, dude.
Fuck. It's an everyday. I have a whole routine I have to do every morning, every night, just so I can walk right. And then I still train. I still spar three times a week and train three times a week. So so I'm like, all right, Siemian. And I was like, coming to real time. All right, gang, here's what's happening. You know, Justin Fields tried to get him to go. They said no. Siemian hurt his oblique. It looks like Peterman, but Siemian right now as we speak is still trying to take reps with the ones. Then I come back later in the last segment of our show and I said, here's the deal. Trevor Siemian took a painkilling injection and he is back out there running with the ones. Everybody thought it's Nathan Peterman, but Trevor Siemian's still pushing a go. It looks like Peterman. I mean, it looks like Trevor Siemian. So I know it's not a huge scoop, but it was pretty cool in real time to give that to our viewers in Fox. And I want to make sure every week on Fox, like I'm not going to do the stuff Schefter and Rapoport do anymore, right? That minute by minute. And we've talked about that, the insanity,
it's crazy,
of what it does between my ears. But I want our viewers to know, hey, on Sunday, Glazer is going to have something different than the rest of us. Glazer is going to have, hey, Odell Beckham will be medically cleared this week. The race is on, right? Whatever it is. So that's where I try to make sure I have something on Sundays that are different than everything else.
Where is Beckham going to end up?
So his schedule is he goes to the Giants. What's today?
Thursday. Friday.
Okay. So he goes to the Giants.
Today is Friday. Definitely Friday.
Okay.
I just decided to wear the same exact outfit.
He goes to the Giants today. He'll go to the Bills tonight. I'll go to the Cowboys on Monday.
Wait, what day is he going?
Where's it going? What team? I don't care about his calendar, Jay.
Can't tell you. He has to go visit the teams.
Okay.
Don't know that. He fucking, like, somebody may be like, hey, you're not leaving our building. We're getting this deal done now. But that's why the Cowboys want to go last.
Yeah, the odds on favorite, and other reporters are on this beat, and it seems as though the most likely scenario is that he ends up in Big D. But you're saying that
right. What
happens in these meetings can sway him.
Sure, absolutely.
Do we read
if somebody
into-
says, if somebody says, hey, we're going to give you this kind of deal right now, don't go there, we'll make this here. Like, do I think that's going to happen? No, but I didn't think Matt Rhule was going to take that first job with the fucking Panthers and not go around. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, you never know, but I know the Cowboys strategically want to be last so they can say, okay, you're not going anywhere else. But also I want to remind you with Odell is he loves to play this up and have potentially a team swoop in at the end. Right. So once they know what the offers are, they can go tell these other teams and another team may go, oh, okay, we'll beat that. He don't even have to visit. So that's why I can't tell. As I just got done explaining to you guys for the last half hour, I don't like to be wrong. Hence the three the three sources thing. So that's why I don't want to predict where he's gonna go.
What's the most memorable example you have of another reporter just being and you don't have to name names, but I hope you do, of just being furious that you broke a story instead of them?
The lockout.
The courthouse.
The lockout. Yeah. Oh, it was voiced to me. It was voiced to me by other executives at other networks. And then you know what, too? When I had the Richie Incognito exclusive sit down, there was a lot of people shooting arrows at me thinking I wasn't objective because I had trained Richie. That was fucking bullshit. Like I went right down the pipe there. I asked him the tough questions. I had a fucking scoop that everybody in the world, including the Oprahs of the world, wanted. That one I got beat up on for, which, and that wasn't fair.
Unbreakable is the name of the book. Unbreakable is the name of the podcast. He is exploring some territory that a whole lot of people don't want to be talking about out loud. What are you doing this week, Jay? And I have a question from last week that I have remorse about not asking, so I'll get to that in a second. But what do you have for us this week?
So this week we have Kristen Lee Navarro on our on the podcast, who is in a show on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why, which was about suicide. And since then, Christian has been such in such a dark place that he considered taking his own life. And thank God hasn't. And, you know, I talk about having teammates and lean into your teammates. He did tell his dad, and his dad was there for him. And he ended up getting help. And he reached out to this. There's an online therapy. It's actually one of the sponsors of our show. It's called BetterHelp. And you can reach out online and they can get you a therapist and started doing the work on himself. And it was amazing, but it was just like, wow, you were on a show about that and you still even considered it. And I think the problem nowadays too, man, is you have mental health issues and you have problems, and our problems become bigger than just problems. They're becoming mental health issues for us. And it's starting to get people to think down that wrong path. My job is to villainize suicide. And the way I'm going to say it is also sometimes a little controversial, but I want to take away all the glory of it. You know, a lot of times you'll see, I think it's becoming an epidemic because, you know, when someone sees the outpouring of love, when someone takes their own life, a lot of times somebody's going, well, fuck, my life sucks right now. I feel unloved. Well, why am I not going to do this? And it's just, it's scary. And I think that's why it's becoming more like this power of suggestion. So I'm talking about it so people maybe could recognize that and not pull that. And like, guys, today I'm doing great. It's the best day I've had since we've all started doing this together. I'm in the fucking blue. And I have not been in the blue this entire time. I've been really, really, really bad in the gray. My anxiety this entire season has been horrific. It's been awful. And I'm telling y'all now, like, man, I'm celebrating. I'm in the fucking blue because the work that I've done this whole year has finally paid off. Like, I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I just knew I'm going to be here. I'm going to stick around this world long enough to, like, I always say, you never know what lies around next Tuesday. Well, finally, last night, the day after that Tuesday, man, it just clicked. And I realized, and I was able, like, Dan, you keep asking me, have you been able to feel us being of service to all these people? These people have reached out from these segments saying, thank you so much for talking about this. You've saved my life, or you've helped my life. And I haven't been able to feel it because I've been in such a dark place myself. And I'm not sure why I've been in that dark place this whole time, except I suffer from depression and anxiety. Like, this thing has its own fucking set of rules. But I'm here to tell you, like, man, I am in such a great place today because that these months and months and months of work that I've done have finally paid off and something shifted. And I don't know what that something was, but it shifted because I am doing the work of myself. I know I started with a new therapist this week. I still have my own therapist, an old one. But I started doing more things and something just clicked. And like, I've never been on here and told you guys, hey, I'm in the blue. Things are fucking great, right? So today I'm feeling it. And it feels spectacular and to know that I put the work in to get here.
The question that I had remorse about not asking you last week, as you talked about hitting yourself and Michael Phelps harming himself
with a golf cleat,
as punishment. Yeah. I don't know, and I don't think I've asked you if you've explored the roots of your self-loathing. Like, if you know if it's brain chemistry, if it's upbringing, if it's environment, if it's all of those things.
I think it's all the above. I think some chemistry. My frustration, I end up, like I said, hitting myself in the self-loathing because I don't want to hurt somebody else. And then I feel like, yeah, you deserve it. Like, man, my self-worth was so low. When I started fighting, I went in to lose, thinking that other person deserved it more. How fucked up is that? I'm going to go on a wrestling mat or a boxing ring or a cage and help hand somebody else a win because they deserve it more than me because they're a better person than I am. The self-loathing came, some of it is definitely childhood, absolutely. And I won't dive into that here. I'll dive into that with the therapist. But some of it's without a doubt childhood. Some of it is, again, I don't know if it was just childhood or I was born with it, you know, but that self-loathing is really bad. And I, like I said, I just want to make sure I don't touch anybody else. I do it to me, but then that ends up scaring the fuck out of people. When I'm sitting here punching myself in the head, feeling that I deserve to get punished, and you know, people around, they see it, and it scares the fuck out of them. And that's something else I'm working on. You know, I'm a work in progress. But people out there who are listening to this, you're doing that to yourself. You're not alone. You're not the only fucked up one doing this. And I want them to know that.
It's your business. Obviously, you draw the lines wherever you want to. But how do you go about drawing the lines? Since you're so comfortable with public vulnerability, where you draw the line on, no, this is for my therapist, this is not for the public.
Yeah, when it comes to where it's going to affect other people, I think. But I also, I don't know. Like, again, here's the thing. I'm not an expert in this field. I'm just somebody who knows how to talk about it because God blessed me with the ability to communicate what depression looks like, what anxiety looks like, what the ramifications are, what the highs and lows are, and the peaks and valleys of it. And that's it. You know, again, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a doctor, although I play one on TV when I'm talking about my ins and outs on Sundays. But yeah, I you know, and then sometimes, Dan, I don't know why I answer in a certain way. You know, but sometimes I'll be like, you know what, wait, can I say this here? Is it okay to say this? Maybe next week I'll be like, hey, you know what, I thought about it and here, I don't know. But you know, what I do want to do is I do want to expose myself as much as I'm comfortable with to show others they're not alone and it's okay. And like, look, even me being, you know, like this, like you see how many people, Dan, we get messages from that. Like, I think the world needs a voice that can talk up for us and to show people that those of us who are struggling are in the majority these days. And again, you may not have the depression, anxiety, and the bipolar that I have and the ADD that I have, but you just may have, like, dealing with problems is harder in today's world than it ever has been, because when you feel like you're failing, you're comparing yourself to everybody else, their successes, or you're comparing yourself to somebody else going, how come these people aren't failing? I'm failing in this. And it just, it's a shittier existence because of social media. And what I really want us to do is start, like I just talked to somebody the other day, I think we're in a world now where we're not able to enjoy our successes because we're constantly comparing ourselves to everybody else. Like, I just had a talk with a friend of mine saying, hey, if 10-year-old you would have seen what you were doing, wouldn't you be so happy instead of being so sad that you're not at a higher level comparing yourself to everybody else to the levels they're at?
Happy that you're in the blue. Happy that we get to do this as often as we do, Jay. Again, I urge you to check out the podcast, Unbreakable. The book is available all over the place as well. Unbreakable, if you want or need help with your mental health, if you want to feel less alone, Jay Glazer is here to hold your hand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. See you guys.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.